Welcome to the Scholarship Chat Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Hill. Here we talk about the scholarship tips, tools, and strategies that you need to fund your dream career. Let's get started.
So I just want to welcome today. We have Sharif Muhammad here. I'm so excited for today's topic. We're going to be talking about taxes. I know that's not the most popular topic for some people, but it's really important that we manage our taxes correctly. So we have the expert in the house, Sharif. And so, Sharif, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Great, great. So I want you to start off by just introducing yourself and your company. And also, I would love to hear is what's your why? Like, what got you into the finance industry?
Wow, where do I start? Well, as you know, my name is Sharif Muhammad. I am the owner and CEO of Unlimited Financial Services, LLC. It's essentially a CPA and financial planning firm. We've been in business for over 10 years. Prior to that, I worked pretty much in corporate America. I worked for a big four accounting firm, Deloitte & Touche, one of the top asset managers, BlackRock Financial. And I also worked at one of the top hedge funds in the world, SAC Capital. So if you've seen the show Billions on Showtime, that's basically the hedge fund that's that the show was written about. So I had a pretty much pretty nice corporate career. Worked primarily as a CPA as well as an investment manager, where I worked in a lot of different products. And essentially I was a hard charging professional looking to climb up the corporate ladder. And essentially, I became a family man. My daughter was born in 2008. And, I was working a lot of hours, giving my life and blood to the corporate, to the corporate machine. And, I said, it was too much. I really wanted to be present for my daughter. And I felt that, it was an opportunity for me to, take a step back and reevaluate what was important in my life. And I decided to, take a step back and, start my own practice. And, sometimes things just happen for a reason. And, exactly when I started my practice, that's when, the market meltdown occurred back in 2008. And, my mom was on the verge of retirement, and, she was calling me, telling me about all her friends who were panicking throughout that time. And, that just created opportunities for me to come in and help people, sort out their finances and help them, make sense of everything that was going on and pretty much steering them through that process. So, it was just an opportunity that kind of fell on my lap. And from there, I went on to get my Series 7, my Series 66 licenses, which is basically stockbroker and investment advisor. And then I went on to become a certified financial planner. So not only do I do CPA and tax planning services, but I also do investment management, financial planning, and some insurance.
Wow. So that's, I was jotting some notes. We're definitely going to have you back on for that chat as well, because I know that's a whole nother, we could talk about that for days. So we'll definitely have you back for the insurance and the investment conversation. But I wanted to comment on something, and congratulations, first of all, you've been in business 10 years, which is amazing, and now you have your daughter. And so for me, when I was listening to you, share, it's like your business gave you freedom, like you said, freedom of your time, and also there's no cap on your income now, too.
Absolutely. Definitely the flexibility, it really allows me to pretty much be present at anything that my daughter is involved with. I'm on the board of trustees at her private school, as well as the coach, as the fencing coach at her school as well.
Awesome. That's really good. And so I do. We are going to focus on taxes today. So before, and
sure.
This is geared towards, of course, our incoming and current graduate students. So they're, you know, of course, in the midst, or maybe right now in the midst of getting that ready. So what are some things you can share that in terms of documents or documentation, what should they be gathering? I would really just say all year long leading up to tax season.
So some of the things that I think are important for graduate students is to make sure they keep records of those acceptance letters that really spell out how their financial package is going to be structured. So depending on what type of graduate student they are, whether you're going to a PhD program, you're going into some type of combination of studies as well as some like practical type
mm-hmm.
of element to it. Those are more so with healthcare professionals or,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you have, let's say you have a scholarship, what does that scholarship cover? Because, you know, depending on what the scholarship covers will determine the taxability of it. So if your scholarship covers tuition and books and fees, all the things that are required for you to attend school, those things are not taxable. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
But if they include, you know, incidentals such as living expenses, room and board, then those things potentially are taxable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, generally if you have scholarships, you know, I always say, you know, it doesn't hurt to call your parents, reach out to the family CPA, and say, hey, I got this letter from the school. What do you think? Because, you know, if the client has, or if the student in question has, let's say some flexible spending, I mean, not flexible spending account, but some 529 money,
mm-hmm.
you know, utilizing the scholarships for the tuition and required fees will keep that money from being taxed. And then you can utilize 529 towards living expenses relating to room and board, and that won't be taxed.
Wow.
So, you know, it's all about – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
It's all about making sure that you're applying the right type of funds to the right type of cost.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do the best you can as far as keeping your the taxability of whatever you have as low as possible.
Right, and you're right. That is the goal. And you brought up something. I made a little note here. For those incidentals you mentioned, like living expenses, you know, things like that, should they – so let's say they don't have a 529. They're just dealing with trying to figure out, you know, how to pay for that. Should they keep receipts all year long, like, you know, like they're if they're renting an apartment, a rental receipt or, you know, things like that?
It really depends because, again,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is a limited amount of deductibility of the expenses that you incur while you're in graduate school because
mm-hmm.
there's a concept in the tax code where essentially it says that you're not allowed to deduct expenses related to higher education that prepares you for a new career.
Oh, okay.
But there are some situations where there are exceptions. Like I can
uh-huh.
tell you from a personal story. When I graduated high school,
uh-huh.
I mean not high school. When I graduated college, I was accepted into a program at Deloitte & Touche. Now, I was not an accounting major when I graduated from college. I was an economics major. But
mm-hmm.
they said that, hey, this offer of employment is contingent upon you being accepted to a master's in accounting program. And you had to finish that master's in accounting program to keep your job. And because they made that distinction in my offer, basically my education, I needed my education in order to keep my job. And because of that, I was able to deduct all my expenses related to graduate school.
Wow.
Right.
Okay,
so
that's
essentially, if your expenses that you incur for graduate school is contingent upon you keeping an existing job. So let's say you're on a job that requires you to procure a license at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can procure that license is to go back to school to take additional coursework. Then that coursework is deductible.
Gotcha. Okay. Now that makes sense. And so now in terms of, so let's say that the student, you know, they've gotten their documentation, they're ready to sit down and let's say start, you know, filing their taxes. What are the top three mistakes in your opinion that you think that graduate school students are making when it comes to doing their taxes?
The top three mistakes, I would say one is, as we spoke just earlier about not keeping those records about how their financial aid packages are structured,
mm-hmm.
because that information, you know, really helps to spell out whether or not the all of their scholarship money or any type of fellowship grants are taxable or not. Because what happens is the IRS, you know, they have flavors of the month. You know, one year mm-hmm. they're challenging one element of your tax return, and another year they're challenging another element. So I would say about 2 years ago, every client I had that filed a lifelong learning credit
mm-hmm.
was getting challenged. The IRS was basically bouncing back every tax return and said, we want to see all the evidence of the tuition expenses you incurred this year
mm-hmm.
on your tax return. And, you know, they were not accepting the 1098 forms that you usually get from the institution. So they wanted to see the bills, and they wanted
wow.
to see those bills paid. So in a lot of situations, you know, the clients have to go back to their schools, their bursars, their registrars,
mm-hmm.
and get that information and literally show, you know, the bills being paid, or if they have financial aid, you know, the balances being paid down to zero and things of that nature. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just understand that any and everything related to any education-related credit or any
mm-hmm.
potential deduction, you're going to need to keep solid documentation for.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other mistakes that you're seeing, or is that really just a big one about documentation?
That's the big one is documentation. The other thing is, I have one client, you know, like sometimes when the IRS comes calling and they're challenging something,
mm-hmm.
don't assume that the IRS is correct.
Okay.
You know, I had in some situations, I had one client who did a fellowship program over the summer, and basically they received a stipend, and
mm-hmm.
the IRS was trying to assert that stipend was subject to self-employment tax, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, actually considered other income, and
okay.
So you reported as you would report your wages. But it wasn't subject
mm-hmm.
to self-employment tax. I mean, which is essentially another, you know, I don't know, about 15.3% of taxes being added on.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so sometimes when the letter comes from the IRS, don't assume that they're always correct.
Gotcha.
You know, and
speaking
that's,
of,
and you,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, I mean, again, you know, it does make sense to reach out to a professional, you know, to, you know, investigate the matter more.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a third item, essentially, like I said, going into the situation especially when you're getting these offer letters, it makes a lot of sense to, you know, before you sign on a dotted line, to sit down with, like I said, a family advisor, CPA, because if there's ways to shift the language around to make it beneficial for you from a tax perspective, that'll make life a lot easier for you, you know, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have, let's say, if they say specifically that a stipend is for, you know, school-related expenses versus incidentals,
mm-hmm.
that makes that stipend now tax-free. versus making, you know, instead of you now having to recognize a tax on it. I mean, again, you know, like graduate students aren't living large off of stipends, but, you know, in some situations you may have, you know, people in different situations. I know personally a friend who was a PhD student. He was a retired Navy, you know, serviceman.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a Navy pension and he was getting a stipend. So, you know, so the taxation matters, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, the less you can get taxed, the better, you know, and obviously
right.
that opens up, you know, qualifications for other, you know, types of tax credits or tax deductions or other things just in general. So you know, to the extent you can keep your income profile as low as possible, especially during the years where you're not necessarily working, you're really focused on your studies, the better.
Right, and I was just going to add on to that, too, is, and you already piggybacked on that, but definitely with getting somebody, an advisor, a company such as yours, you know, to really look over that, because that could be the difference between, like you said, minimizing taxes or paying more than really you needed to.
Right, and you know, we're talking about a number of years, so, you know, those costs do add up.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Now, speaking of costs, in terms of for graduate school, and I guess really mainly the tuition piece, is that tax deductible?
For graduate school?
Yes.
Just in general?
Yes, just
in general.
In
general, no.
Okay. Can you kind of give us a little
and again,
bit of insight?
That kind of touches, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, you're getting ready to explain. I was just asking if you can kind of explain, because I know some students have asked me, why is that not tax deductible? You know.
Right, and again, it goes to the explanation that I gave earlier, that
mm-hmm.
expenses that you incur that prepares you for a new career
mm-hmm.
are conceptually, that just the way the tax code is structured, it's not deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the code does allow for you to have credits, so, you know, you have
mm-hmm.
the lifelong learning credit that you could potentially qualify for,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is up to $2,000 that, you know, but you have to spend at least $10,000 in tuition to qualify
mm-hmm.
for it. And there's, you know, some income limitations surrounding it. But again,
mm-hmm.
most graduate students don't have much income, so they should qualify for it. You know, the only challenge
mm-hmm.
that may kick in is if a graduate student is still being claimed by their parents. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
that becomes a wrinkle, and that's when we need to probably, like advisors or CPAs like myself, need to sit down
mm-hmm.
with the parents to have a conversation about the benefits potentially letting, you know, their graduate student child. Sometimes they,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's not an option in the situation, because in order to keep like their graduate student child on their health insurance,
mm-hmm.
you have to keep them as a dependent on their tax return. So sometimes that creates some challenges, but, you know, again, just sitting down and planning goes a long way in trying to, you know, kind of come up with some solutions to some of these challenges.
Right. And you know what? I'm taking notes myself. But I like the fact you just talked about planning. And that's really been the theme here is planning. So let me ask you this. This is kind of a little sidebar. But let's say
sure.
somebody's listening right now and they're applying for graduate school, so they haven't received an acceptance letter, but they're just starting to apply. How early should they be considering things like what you're talking about in terms of, you know, the expenses and let's say that they are dependent on their parent for the health insurance? Like, how early should they be meeting with an advisor or a CPA like yourself to start this process?
Well, I mean, I would say that if the student, you know, is planning to go to grad school, I mean, the minute they start, you know, having it on their radar,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't hurt to, you know, get the family together, call up the CPA or financial advisor, whoever, you know, whoever is their trusted advisor is, and start having the
mm-hmm.
conversation. You know, start saying, hey, here's, you know, the cost of of attendance. You know, that's easily taken from the website. You know, you can look up what average, you know, financial aid would look like based on their profile, what kind of financial aid they're currently getting while in college, do they anticipate taking loans, and really start. And with that advisor, they can really start, like, projecting out how the numbers are going to look under which scenario. Under the scenario where the graduate child files as an independent and or remains as a dependent on their parents' tax return. Are they going to get scholarships? Are they going to have to take out loans and really go through the numbers? You know, like a qualified, competent advisor should be able to, you know, assist the family through that scenario planning and really have fruitful discussions about, you know, which options to consider as they, you know, start to, you know, get closer to that time where they start applying.
Right, and I'm so glad you said that, because I'm on the scholarship side of things with graduate students, but I'm glad you said that, because I tell them that too, is you can't wait until you pick the school. You know, you didn't think about, like you said, financial aid packages, making projections. And the goal is, like you said earlier, is on the tax side, we want to minimize tax. And, of course, we want to minimize debt as well. You don't want to graduate with tons of debt. So I'm glad you mentioned
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to combine the next two because you really already hit on it. But in terms of scholarships and stipends, and I'm asking this on behalf of the students that I get, you know, they're like, well, are there cases when scholarships are taxable versus not taxable and stipends as well?
Yeah. So, again, sometimes scholarships are a catch-all. And that's where the challenge comes up because the scholarship is covering tuition as well as covering, you know, certain expenses, whether it's meal plan, you know, housing and things of that nature. And when that's the case, what happens is, you know, the portion that's related to tuition and, like I said, books, any technology, anything that's required to attend class, in the courses, that's not taxable. You're good with that. But anything that relates to living expenses, you know, room and board, that is. And sometimes based on how the institution, you know, packages it or they present it like in the documentation, it can create problems because the IRS will, you know, IRS is not sitting there trying to parse. They're going to say everything is taxable. And like, and then you got to go and deal with them to, you know, spell out what's what, you know, send them documentation. So really it goes a long way to, you know, take the time to push back and say, hey, I need this letter written specifically that this is going to be for this purposes. And this amount of award is going to go to that, you know, so it goes a long way to make sure the language is clear and to make sure that, that, you know, they're just not giving you this, a cookie cutter letter. And then next thing you know, you got all these headaches with the IRS or the state, you know, state taxing authorities as well.
Right. And, you know, I'm thinking back to my grad school days and, just the stress of already being in school. I'm just imagining, you know, for myself is, and what you've been saying already, is it's so important to bring in a professional. So it's another sidebar before we end here. But when is it time? Like what kind of questions, I guess, should graduate students be having or discussions? Like what I'm asking is what are some indications for them that, look, I need to bring in a professional for my taxes because I really don't know what I need to be doing, and I don't want to make crucial mistakes.
I guess, I mean, again, you know, I definitely believe that, you know, most tax situations are not going to be that complex, but at the same time, it doesn't hurt to sit down with a professional probably at the onset to so that they can communicate what things they need to be aware of. So, I mean, obviously there's tons of information that's online, and a lot of that information is valuable and can probably get you there, but there's always those wrinkles that no one speaks about, that, you know, where, you know, you got, you know, split families, you know, and there's, you know, there's this situations where you got, you know, scholarships on your end, and then let's say, you know, you got a parent that's in school too, and, you know, there's just so many different wrinkles that can just, like, muddy the waters, whereas, you know, you get the standard rules down pat, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to go, but then something that's just, you know, that one little fine, you know, fact pattern item that comes into play here. Like, let's say you got a private scholarship and it's commingled with a school scholarship, and, you know, the private scholarship, you know, has a provision, like the way they pay for books is different than what they do for tuition, or, you know, like, or, you know, you're getting a check from your local church, you know, all these things, like, kind of come into play, and it's like, okay, yeah, I know the general rules, but now these things aren't quite cut and dry. So,
like I said,
you know, I'm not going to say that you have to call a professional every single time, but it doesn't hurt to just, you know, if there's someone in the family or there's a professional that you know and trust that you can, you know, throw a question to, or, you know, call your local, your state, usually your state has a society of CPAs. You could pose questions to them during tax time or during the time at which you're dealing with the situation that you're dealing with. And generally, a lot of those groups, they have CPAs who do some work pro bono or at very low cost. So it doesn't hurt to, you know, to ask questions when you need to.
I love it. And so we're kind of going to end with this. I got like a page and a half full of notes. So I've been learning a lot myself. And I will say, for me, I believe in securing tax professionals. I believe in going to a professional if it's an area, you know, like you said, where I'm not sure. So for those that are listening, I'm a big fan. But I want to end with this. So, Sharif, let's say a student is listening or their family's listening and they want to reach out to you. You've been sharing really some great stuff. And so they want to, you know, reach out to you about your services. What do you recommend? I know you shared earlier the services that you provide, but what do you recommend for students in this situation right now? Out of your services?
Well, as far as students, I mean, I work with, you know, generally more so graduate students, and with the anticipation that, hey, they're on their way to embarking on their careers, and, you know, of course I'm cognizant of that in my price structure and things of that nature, but like I said, I really try to be there not only as a service provider but also as an educator, that really, because you know, not only are we talking about, you know, just navigating taxes, I really want to help my clients become, you know, financially literate in the areas that, you know, they're not well versed, because you know, once they get out in the real world, you know, not only are they dealing with bills, they have to deal with, you know, investments, insurances, you know, life changes, you know life just gets at you fast, because once you're out of grad school, next thing you know, you're dating, you're getting married, you have kids, you're buying a house, and I mean, once the kids come in play, like, life just goes light speed. Like the speed of life just takes another, like, I guess, another gear. So, you know, so definitely having a trusted person that's there with you along the way, you know, really goes a long way in providing comfort and just a sense that you have someone that you can always pick up the phone and speak with.
And you know what, that's important, especially when it comes to money, because, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about money, and especially if they're dealing with issues, you know, like credit card debt and, you know, things that they don't want to really think about. So I'm glad that you said that, because you're right, it's not just taxes, but it really touches every area, insurance, everything that you had mentioned. Now, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Well, I have a blog, so I mean, if they wish to check out my blog, that's www.njcpablog.com. There you'll find some. I mean, I haven't written in a while, so I'll be the first one to admit to that. Things get so busy, but there you'll find my contact information, my email, my telephone number, and definitely you can get in touch with me that way.
Awesome. So I'll let you have the last words. Any last words of advice for people or graduate students in the midst of this tax filing season?
As far as tax filings, I mean, obviously, be cognizant of, the information that you're sending out. Keep records, because again, you never know when the IRS will come calling later if they challenge something. And I mean, I know we're in some interesting times, but I think it's, the opportune time to, reassess at what's important in life, and just, I would say always, move forward with the mindset of having gratitude for health and all the things that matter, and being of service to others. So.
I agree. You're right. That's really what it's all about. And for those of you that are listening, I will have all of Sharif's information in the show notes. That way you can click right there and you'll be able to access his blog. Like he said, all of his other information as well. So with that being said, Sharif, thank you so much. I've learned a lot. I know those that are listening are going to learn a lot. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast episode. To learn more about how you can use your talents and achievements to find and win scholarships in less time, visit my website, which is www.collegeprepready.com. Also, follow me on Facebook at Prep, the number 4 college. That's Prep, the number 4 college. Now take care, and I look forward to bringing you more scholarship search tools, tips, and strategies in our next podcast episode. Goodbye.